from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
It is time to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
And we're going to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
When we win on November 8th, we are going to Washington, D.C., and we are going to drain the swamp.
Well, happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. You remember that slogan. Donald Trump made it famous during the 2016 presidential election. The moniker has led to the production that goes behind the scenes entitled The Swamp, an unprecedented new documentary series. Four conservative Republicans, and you know them from this radio show, in the House are airing their grievances with Washington, including frustrations with GOP leaders, in a new video series slated to be released on Facebook. Congressman Thomas Garrett of Virginia is one of those featured in the upcoming docuseries, and we're looking forward to talking with him in just a moment. And a growing number of California towns are revolving into an advocacy group and revolting against the state's sanctuary state law. In March, the small city of Los Alamitos was the first to announce that they would put their commitment to federal law over state regulations. Troy Egger, he's the mayor of that town, will be here with the latest on that effort. And Beijing just banned Bibles, can you believe this, from being sold online. At the same time, it ironically touts a new white paper trumpeting China's so-called religious freedom. Leading religious freedom expert David Curry of Open Doors USA will join us with the details. And high school and college students across the country prepare to join a student-initiated pro-life walkout April 11th, taking a stand for life and demand that Planned Parenthood be defunded. Will these students receive the same support students received for the A March for Our Lives advocating for more gun control? Christy Hamrick, spokesperson of Students for Life, will be here to answer that question and share how you can get involved. Of course, all this great content is online at TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at Russ Jones Reports. Of course, I am the show's producer, and enjoy guest hosting for Tony when he can't be here. Well, filmmaker Matt Whitworth is launching a new documentary project that exposes the truth about our government with uncensored quotes from lawmakers willing to go on the record. It's premiering on Facebook. It's a documentary called The Swamp, and it's a series, and it's going to come out every couple of weeks. Here's just a taste of what The Swamp is all about. Let's listen.
I'd heard about people losing their seats on committees as a result of not voting the right way.
People think this is politics. Politics is just a superstructure.
And I often said, if it were a company, I'd have quit. Unbelievable. You don't need the rest of us. They make every single decision at the top.
Peter Pelosi and I had a
conversation. The system's not broken, and there are good people here. The system's been poisoned.
As soon as you want something, they got you. As soon as you want something, you now become part of the swamp. That's the way the game is played around here.
Compelling stuff. In The Swamp, Representatives Ken Buck of Colorado, Rod Blum of Iowa, Tom Garrett of Virginia, and Dave Brad of Virginia also got candid about how Washington operates. We're privileged and honored right now to have with us Congressman Thomas Garrett. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Virginia. He serves on the House Committee on Homeland Security and Foreign Affairs Committee and a member of the House Freedom Caucus, one of FRC's True Blue recipients. Congressman Garrett, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, Russ, thanks for having me on. I could probably just ruin the surprise and tell you that the Marchers for Life will not receive the same support, but I won't do that. We'll do our segment.
Yeah, and I think most most folks know that. You know, we've been trying to get you on the show for a while, and so glad that you could do it today. Thank you. Happy Friday to you. And, man, just really, I haven't seen the premiere yet, just the trailer. But tell us, I understand that you had to sign a film participation release where you have no editorial or creative control. Wow, talk about a lot of credit you deserve and your colleagues. How's it going and what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, this backslapping over what incredible risk takers we are pales in comparison to the founders who were literally pledging their lives when they signed the declaration. So, yes. You know, it was something that I think a lot of people who were asked took a pass on. You know, we got to know Matt Whitworth, the filmmaker, and I felt like he would give a candid, even-handed approach. And I think right now that we're losing sort of the messaging fight, particularly with the younger generations, and so it's important to get out there and do things a little bit differently. And we took that as an opportunity. And if it, you know, if there was a political backlash and it hurts me, then that's okay. A lot of people have given a lot more than a political job to do what they thought was right. So that's that was kind of our thinking.
And you know, you're part of the House Freedom Caucus, who we have a lot of folks from the caucus on this program that represent the views of the Family Research Council. What kind of feedback did you get from them when you told them what you were thinking about?
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody thinks that, you know, people tell you how to vote. The House Freedom Caucus, when it takes a position on an issue, is not lockstep. In fact, it requires an 80% vote of the membership to take a position, which leaves 20% who we don't kick out of the room and who we trust and who are free to go their own way, you know, I think it might be the most free thinking group of people in the entire House. It was myself and Alex Mooney who carried the amendment to defund Planned Parenthood in this last omnibus, and I enunciate the T bill. So we just try to be, you know, my whole goal is to be true to exactly who I said I was going to try to be when I ran, and that's pretty simple. And I think people overthink the political realm. I think candor and honesty are a pretty good tactic. We'll find out if I'm right. I'm standing for re-election, and I think my opponents have raised about $2 million. So we'll see what happens. But look, God's got a plan. We're going to be all right either way.
Amen. Amen. Tell me, in light of this conversation we're having here, what has been one of the biggest surprises for you as you've gone to Congress that maybe you didn't anticipate?
Well, We work awfully hard to accomplish very little. In Virginia, where I was in the state Senate, we have a 45 or a 60-day session in alternating years. And we pass more bills, and every bill gets a hearing and an up or down vote. That doesn't begin to happen in Washington. The gatekeepers at the committee level keep most bills from ever getting anywhere near the floor. And they never get a vote, and they never get a hearing. So that's mind-blowing. And then if you decide to sort of part ways with the prevailing sentiment of your party, and I think candidly it's worse on the other side of the aisle, you know, if there aren't ramifications, there's certainly threats that there'll be ramifications. And that's, I won't be beholden to that. You shouldn't be afraid to oppose this president. You shouldn't be afraid to support him. It should be based on who you believe you aspire to be and what you think is right. And that's kind of what got us here. Adams and Jefferson were amazing rivals for the first two-thirds of their adult life, but they weren't disrespectful, you know?
Right, right.
So that's where I think we've gone, and it's tragic.
Well, you know, the producer here of The Swamp apparently reached out to Democrats in trying to be fair and didn't get any takers. Is that right?
Well, I certainly wasn't in the room for that, but that's the story I've heard. I know that he reached out to a number of members before they made their way down the list to the likes of me. We never really equivocated. You know, I had some very candid conversations with sort of the trust that I was placing in him. And I talked to my wife and we understood that the potential downside could be that somebody with editorial control could sort of create what they wanted to create by way of an image.
And a very good conversation to have, by the way. With your wife.
Right. Well, but right. I mean, well, that's political advisor and guru number one for me.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, again, the risk is, I guess, in Washington terms is big, but in terms of sort of historical context, I mean, I'm just a guy doing what I think is right. So that doesn't make me Dr. King or James Madison or, you know, this is sort of what should be the norm.
Right. And you know, it's interesting. I guess quite a few permissions had to be sought before he could film this, going through the ethics committee and all kinds of other places of certain things that couldn't be shared, I would imagine. But are you pleased with how it's coming out?
Well, I think, I mean, we're unfiltered. And what you can tell, I think, by the work that they've done here, they're not taking five-second snippets. They're not taking two-second snippets. They're taking 15, 20, 30-second complete thoughts. Which I think shows that there's not any sort of work to create any sort of image other than what's real. And that's a good thing. I think it is what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
America should know who these people are because they're so maligned by the press that we have to tell our own story if we want to get it out there, right? So if we won't advocate for ourselves, nobody's going to advocate for us.
Right. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. And we're talking with Congressman Garrett of Virginia, and he serves the 5th Congressional District there and is also on the House Judiciary Committee and member of Freedom Caucus and also the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Well, I'm not on the Judiciary.
Homeland Security. My apologies. Yep.
Yeah, we are on Ed and Workforce as a third. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So let's move to the border here a little bit. What are your thoughts about, you're on the Homeland Security Committee, about sending our guard troops down there to protect the border given this caravan that's moving across Mexico?
Well, the first thing that strikes me is the absolute dichotomy as it relates to coverage when President Obama sent National Guard troops to the border versus when President Trump does the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a great idea and a bold and courageous move when it was President Obama, and now that it's President Trump, it's foolhardy and they won't be able to do anything. The reality is that the needs at the border include maintenance and upkeep, include additional air assets to essentially observe, include additional eyes to observe the remote assets already stationed. And these are all things that these guards, women and men, can do. But I think if you want to understand just how badly some of the media has gone as it relates to advocacy versus reporting, just Google search 2010 Obama National Guard to the border, and it was just a bold, courageous move, and he was to be commended. And now President Trump does the same thing, and somehow it's horrifically wrong. It frustrates the heck out of me that we couldn't get the funding in the omnibus. We paid for everything except border security, which is one of the reasons I voted no. But it's one of the paramount responsibilities that should be undeniable, that a sovereign nation defends its borders, and that an immigration policy should be first tailored towards the citizens of the nation that the policy serves. The fact that these things are even debatable sort of tells us how far we've moved, I think, away from foundational principles.
Congressman, we're about out of time here. Thank you so much. I know it's Friday, and it's time to go to your constituent meeting, spend some time with family. Thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. We pray that you have a blessed weekend, and thank you for opening up yourself and sharing what's really going on in Washington, D.C.
Well, Russ, thank you for what you do, and we look forward to talking again sometime soon.
All right. Thank you so much. Very interesting. Go to Facebook. I know that's not a real popular place these days, and you got to be careful, but go watch The Swamp. Well, last month, the city of Los Alamitos in California started a movement across the state after it vetoed and voted to opt out of the sanctuary city law over the belief that it may be in direct conflict with federal laws and the Constitution. Troy Egger, the mayor of that town, here after the break.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. In all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Well, a happy Friday. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, on Monday evening, the city council in Los Alamitos, a small city in Southern California, in Orange County, voted 4-1 to exempt itself from Senate Bill 54, also sometimes called the Sanctuary State Law, which took effect in January. This trend, you know, is growing among a number of California cities. The state law, which is being challenged by the U.S. Department of Justice, bars local authorities from asking about the immigration status of people during routine interactions or participating in federal enforcement actions. And joining us now is Troy Edgar. He's the mayor of Los Alamitos in California. Mayor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Russ. Thank you.
Hey, I got word that you were actually in a client meeting right now and broke away to join us. I appreciate that. Just saw that note. But this is a really important topic. Tell us, where are things right now? And a lot of folks would praise you for having the courage to do what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. We passed our ordinance probably about now 2 weeks ago. I know you had said earlier on Monday, but it was actually on the 19th.
Okay.
And 8 days later, basically it started a chain reaction. I've got our county supervisors involved, and the county voted, jumped on board with it. And then there very soon after, about five Orange County cities. And then as of Wednesday night, we had our first San Diego County city. So people not familiar with the state of California, Orange County and San Diego County are the two largest counties in the Southern California region.
Now, when you started this effort a few weeks ago, it kind of started a domino effect. Did you think that would happen?
Well, I knew just based on our residents that we have a lot of frustration with the direction California was going and a lot of frustration about concerns for public safety. And at this point, when we did it, we were hoping to be able to get other cities and mayors. And that's been my big focus in speaking to a lot of different groups and calling a lot of mayors and talking to them. Mm-hmm. And every mayor I talked to would say, hey, we're really interested in doing this, but we just don't have the courage. We're afraid of the backlash.
Right.
And mayor let us know how it goes. So as soon as we got in, there was some backlash, but right after that, the vacuum filled, and there was just a tremendous amount of support from people that really appreciated us, really focusing, trying to stand up for the Constitution and help the state of California.
And speaking of backlash, are you getting any? And what about your council members?
We definitely are under fire. I would say that, emails and calls, 95% of them are positive. But on the negative side of this, I serve on a lot of charity boards. And one of the boards that I was part of is called CASA Youth Shelter. And it's basically for homeless throwaway youth, trying to unify them either with a family member or at the social services. I'm on the board. I'm the treasurer of the board, and I was I started getting calls from staff there saying that they want me removed from the board. How could we have a facility like that in a city that's racist and all that? And luckily, all the boards that I've been on basically said, "You remove Mayor Edgar, we're going to leave." So it's been, but luckily it's, it just shows the resolve, not only in our residents, but our businesses, and now in our charity boards, people that are really trying to give back to the community appreciate the stand.
And since you've made this move, Huntington Beach City Council voted 6-1 recently.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, I was really intrigued to see that you all have actually started a GoFundMe page account to raise funds for possible legal defense. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. The one thing that the residents said, Mayor, we really would appreciate you step up, but, realize, we're really, tied to finances. And, and so as soon as this thing, we did the vote, and next thing you know is nationally we started getting media inquiries and people from all over. And I was really just trying to find a way. If you looked at our vote, it went 4-1, and one person that was really against it was concerned about the financials. And I've got the follow-up vote coming up on the 16th of April. And, my focus has been to try to raise money to help the legal funds because the state of California will probably end up suing us once we finalize the adoption on the 16th.
And that could get into the thousands of dollars, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I met with our city attorney and I've met with other lawyers, and I think it could be anywhere between $60,000 to $100,000. And so far, it's been online for a little over a week, and we've raised we're getting close to $10,000. That's not a whole lot yet, but I really appreciate all the support that we've been able to get.
And they basically would be litigating against your community, trying to force you to stay in line with that state law. Is that right?
That's right.
Which is breaking the federal law, which is rather ironic.
Yeah, well, that's the whole part that's ironic. And if you look at what Huntington Beach did, which is a really significantly large city, and they've got a lot more resources, that one of their actions was to basically directly sue the state in the same lawsuit that they got sued on the state constitution, not the U.S. Constitution, on the autonomy of cities. But, for us, it's something that's a smaller city. We had to be more strategic, get out there, do an ordinance because we can, and then really join a federal lawsuit through an amicus brief. And that really tried to set a model that I could tell other mayors, look, you could do this. It's, without incurring a lot of costs unless somebody comes back and sues you.
So, folks, if you're listening, let me see if I can explain this right. Here we have a mayor leading a city council. They want to follow the federal law, protect their community, work with international, immigration authorities and whatnot. So they vote to follow the federal law. But now the state, who is breaking the federal law, may very well litigate against Los Alamitos. And here the town is trying to raise funds to defend itself against something that is breaking the federal law. It just is nonsensical.
So. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It definitely is. But I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate your listeners being informed of this and trying to keep track. And, we appreciate their prayers and thoughts from everybody.
Well, Mayor, thank you so much. We're up against a hard break. We indeed will be praying for you, and thank you for your leadership.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you again for your time. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Amazing. Simply amazing. Something else amazing, the Bible appears to have been removed from online marketplaces in China as Beijing clamps down on how its citizens practice religion. When we return, we'll have David Curry, president of Open Doors USA. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Thank you for tuning in to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Happy Friday. Good to have you along for the ride. Well, the Chinese government has reportedly banned the sale of Bibles at online bookstores across the country to comply with a, quote, white paper that is dictating compliance with the, quote, core values of socialism. With us now is leading religious freedom expert Dr. David Curry of Open Doors USA. Dr. Curry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, a simple search for Bible on China's largest e-commerce platforms, sir, generates no results. What's going on?
Well, we've seen this trend at Open Doors. We track persecution of Christians around the world in various countries and regions, and we've seen this trend growing over the last few years in China, where they are trying to, in our view, nationalize Christian faith. The communist leaders some time ago, I think, embraced the idea that Christianity was good for the culture and taught the values that maybe communism hadn't instilled in their people. And so they let Christianity flourish. Now, there may be more Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party, and they're beginning to clamp down on Christians. So they're wanting to funnel the purchase of Bibles through only state-regulated churches. And, of course, in that way, they can control the distribution of churches, try to nationalize faith so that people see the Chinese ethnicity and Christianity as a nationalistic movement and not as a spiritual movement. And that we see as a major problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Catholic news source, UCA News, reports that there's been a longstanding rule preventing Bibles in China from being sold over the Internet, but the directive had been allowed to kind of slide for several years, and I guess that's changing.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. These rules have been in place, of course, in China, where they have such massive control that is centralized. Mm-hmm. What is new is that they are clamping down on Christians, clamping down on unregistered churches. Unregistered churches, home churches, have existed in China for some time. Typically, a pastor will get together on a Monday morning, go through his notes with a local police force. That in and of itself is to us here in the West shocking, but that's happened in China for a long time. Now, in the northern parts, in Beijing and other parts of the country, pastors are being put in prison for a week or so, these unregistered churches. Why? In order to get them on the books, register the people. Everybody has to sign up. Everybody has to let people know what they're doing. And I think that's a real problem for the freedom of religious expression in China and for the church there.
Now, David, we've had you on before talking about the Open Doors World Watch List. It's a comprehensive annual survey of the state of religious liberty for Christians around the world. And you rank China as 43rd most difficult place to be a Christian, as the Communist Party is banking on a unified Chinese cultural identity to maintain its power, which is why Christians, are increasingly slandered. And I guess this is just more proof of that.
Yeah, I mean, when we think of the Chinese church, we needn't, think of them as in an infantile way. This is a strong church. It's a big church. It may soon be the largest church in the world, bigger than the body of Christ in America. So it is large and it's growing. But it's going to need to stand up and let their voice be heard on religious freedom. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, it is the largest group of persecuted Christians in the world because there's just so many of them. Mm-hmm. And now as these pressures begin to mount, I think you're going to see China move up on the world watch list, perhaps.
And I suspect the government is seeing this growth and is trying to control it.
They absolutely. I think they're scared on every level that the church will let their voice be heard in society. Of course, this is something we see in various parts of the world where people sort of poo-poo religious faith. They say, well, keep it private. Don't bring it into the public sphere. And, of course, we believe in a holistic faith. And so we see that the church in China is going to have that challenge in the future. We want to make sure that people understand that the church in China is under increasing pressure. Bibles are being restricted. They're trying to force people into registering their faith. And I see that as a major restriction of religious liberty.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that this all comes as the country has released a white paper declaring that Chinese faith communities should adhere to the direction of localizing the religion and practice the core values of socialism. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the versions of this, the Russian Orthodox Church under pressure of the Russian government over the centuries. Now the Chinese church is taking a page from that book, trying to create these scenarios whereby you're not really Chinese unless you first look to us, whether it's the Catholic Church or the evangelical movements. They want the church to heal to the Chinese communist system. And really, we want to maintain the freedom of religious expression, that it would be a spiritual movement based on the teachings of Jesus and not a politicized movement. We have to remember, whether it's in the West or in the East or anywhere else, the move of Christ must be a spiritual movement and not a politicized one.
Well, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on this very important topic. We appreciate you, Dr. Curry, being here on Washington Watch.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. And folks, all this information is on TonyPerkins.com. Go take a look. Well, a pro-life walkout. Will it get the same support as the walkout that was calling for more gun control? Christy Hamrick of Students for Life will be here when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
We're cruising on a Friday afternoon, and I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Always good to be with you. Glad to have you along for the ride. Well, as you know, school administrators allowed students to walk out in protest of guns on the heels of the Florida school shooting. But will they offer the same courtesies and support when students take to the streets nationwide in protest against abortion? Scheduled for Wednesday, April 11th, a student-led event entitled Pro-Life Walkout will take place at 10 a.m. in all time zones for 17 minutes in support of life. With us now is Christy Hamrick, spokesperson for Students for Life. Christy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for talking about this event. We really are trying to stand with students, especially in high school, more so even in colleges. Expressions of faith, expressions of sentiment, expressions of passion need to be student-led and student-initiated. So we are so delighted to stand with Brandon Gillespie and other students who are saying, we want to make a statement for life. They're the leadership, and we are just trying to help them do what they say they want to do, which is draw attention to both Planned Parenthood and to the millions, more than 60 million dead from abortion since Roe v. Wade.
Well, Christy, let me ask you this. A few weeks ago, I was hosting, I was filling in for Tony and had Julianne Benzel as a guest. Now, she's a teacher at Rockland High School, and she was suspended because she pondered the question in class, wondering if students would receive the same support if they conducted a pro-life march standing against abortion. And is that when the seed was planted, possibly?
You have nailed it on the head, 100%. In fact, Brandon Gillespie, who is the initial organizer of this, is one of her students and in her class. And that question really resonated with him. Would there be equal accommodation? Mm-hmm. So many things were done in schools across the country, and money came in, and people tried to jump on this bandwagon. And Brandon decided he would do something about it. So he chose April 11th. They stayed with the same basic format, 10 a.m. across all time zones for 17 minutes, in remembrance of those lost to abortion, but also to say, and I'm quoting Brandon on this, he wanted to see, do my rights count too? Do mm-hmm. I have the same First Amendment rights? So he took up the gauntlet, and now a Students for Life came along. As you know, we have more than 1,200 chapters on college and high school campuses across the country. So we brought together some of our resources to help the students who are interested at prolifewalkout.org. Brandon last night did a webcast with us talking to students across the country, giving them some advice, and we were talking with kids in schools all over. It was very exciting. But he's the one who wanted to do this test, and it's exciting.
That's just awesome. You know, Christy, I also teach online at Liberty University, and that's what teachers do. She planted the seed. She gave the other side of an issue, but yet she, doggone it, she got suspended because she was simply, I mean, it's outrageous. We should be outraged, but yet we just keep, you know, we just keep our mouths shut and our kids go and get indoctrinated. But this student heard what she had to say, and she was just simply giving the other side of the coin. But here we have a national thing going on.
Absolutely. You know, what's kind of ironic is Brandon has been so patient working with his school administrators who opened the door to the anti-gun walkout, and they still are being not being direct about whether or not they're going to support his walkout next week at the school. One assumes that they're aware of the law that's required. Well, the accommodation for one is the accommodation for other. And at our pro-life walkout website, the Life Legal Defense Foundation has offered some guidelines, which can be really fundamentally summarized as, if you did it for one, you have to do it for another.
Absolutely.
We're still waiting to hear.
Let me ask you this. There's probably some folks listening right now. We're 250 stations across the country. Haven't heard about this. How can they get involved? How can they jump on this bandwagon?
Well, I really encourage them to go to prolifewalkout.org. We have a lot of information there. Or if you go to studentsforlife.org/walkout, we have, you know, sample news releases, your legal speech rights, and all kinds of tools to help kids do this thing that they want to do. It's really important for people to understand. Some people are uncomfortable with walkouts. Some Christian schools, some Catholic schools, we're very uncomfortable with it. The point is not to say you need to walk out. The point is to say that we have to respect rights equally. Mm-hmm. And these pro-life students have every right to express their sentiment. And given the support that schools and administration gave the anti-gun efforts, pro-life students have every right. And you know what's so interesting is, and this to me is a tragic fact. When you look at the causes of death of teenagers for all causes across the country, it's about 133,000 dead a year. And yet it's in the millions who die of abortion.
Yes.
These students have every right. One quarter of this generation has been lost to abortion. Mm-hmm. So for those motivated by that sentiment, for those motivated by deaths in that volume, this is an appropriate thing for them to do if they want to. So I would really invite people to come to either studentsforlife.org/walkout or prolifewalkout.org. Sign up, get more information, and know that you have every right to express your point of view.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for taking time out of your Friday and joining us. This is an important message, and we wanted to get it out there, and we will certainly send people your way.
Thanks so much. We look forward to it.
All right, Christy, thank you so much. We've been talking with Christy Hamrick of Students for Life. Folks, really important issue. You can go find all this information as well on tonyperkins.com. You can go to the website she mentioned, prolifewalkout.org. Let's talk about it. Give us a call here. It's Friday. I want to hear from you. We've got time for a few calls. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. There's been over 50 million abortions since the Supreme Court handed down the Roe v. Wade decision. And what a worthy cause. What a worthy cause. Let's watch with interest to see if these students get the same kind of support. Will they let them have their time, and will folks give them that support? It'll be interesting to see if there's a double standard. I think we know the answer to that. Well, give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Union, Nebraska and talk to Lonnie. Hi, Lonnie. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how are you doing, Russ?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really good, and today's a day of celebration here in Nebraska.
How so?
They passed the budget bill, and they're no longer going to fund Planned Parenthood here in Nebraska. But we made history today.
Wow. Big news. Good for you Huskers.
Great news.
Good for you Huskers.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, I can just praise the Lord for that. I tell you, this has been a long time, and I tell you, this is the greatest news that we've heard in Nebraska for a long time.
And that's because folks were rightly elected into office, and it shows that elections matter, doesn't it?
And Pete Ricketts is going to sign the bill.
He's the
one, I think, that introduced the bill, and he's going to sign the bill. So this here really looks good. And, boy, I was so thrilled this morning when I heard it, you know.
Well, Lonnie, thank you for calling and sharing that information. I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are praising with you here today. Thanks for calling. That is great news. And Nebraska folks, you know, we have 8 or 9 stations there that carry Washington Watch. So you just got the news there from Lonnie, if you hadn't heard it. Let's go to Paula in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Paula. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about the Chinese not letting Bibles be distributed there.
Yes.
I was in Taiwan in 2011, and at that time I was distributing some tracts in an airport there in Taiwan, and a man was kind of surprised about that I was doing that, but he said, he showed me on his phone a picture of a motel in China mm-hmm. where there was a Bible, and he'd been very surprised that there was a Bible in a motel. Mm. And so I guess things are going backward there at this point.
What took you to Taiwan?
We have a friend there, a young man who stayed with us while he was studying English in the United States.
Well, thanks for sharing that information. We'll certainly be keeping these folks in our prayers. And, you know, if I know the Christian community, these folks will have their Bibles one way or another. And God can make sure that that happens. And we see it happen all the time. It's amazing how people get the word. Let's go to Greg in Houston. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I appreciate your show. I appreciate when you stand in for Tony. I love listening to him generally on my way home from work. And I appreciate the conversation you got going today. I would caution, you know, the students to be careful where this goes. Too much walkout, it seems like, doesn't necessarily benefit the cause. And just because they have a right, you know, sometimes we don't necessarily need to exercise our rights to do the right thing. Seems like we might be better suited to find a better medium of communicating, you know, rather than students walking out.
I understand your point there. I guess, you know, we could have a walkout every day. supporting one cause or another. I think this one's rather interesting. And I actually had the teacher on the show when I was guest hosting that pondered that question, and that's how the whole thing happened, is that she said, I wonder if pro-life students would get the same support. So it's kind of interesting. The story, the background story to it, I find rather interesting. But you raise a good point, Greg.
I heard that story when that came out, and I thought that the school system overreacted really quickly. With her, and I thought she handled it well. But I think, you know, like I said, you know, the Bible teaches us, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is the good example of be careful of exercising your rights, you know, and how that comes across to unbelievers. So that's all I had to say. Thank you for your work. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Greg. You have a blessed weekend. Thank you so much. Hey, Joe in Delaware, Ohio. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you. Thanks for all that you guys do there at American Family. radio, and God bless Nebraska, and thanks for sharing the good news, and congratulations to all the Christian conservatives that voted and ran for office. God bless them. Take care.
Yep, that's good news. Thank you so much. Hey, we got time for one more call. If you by your phone there, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. It's Friday. You got big plans for the weekend, going to spend some time with family. You know, I'm gearing up. You know, some of you know my story that I joined the Mississippi State Guard and getting ready for my first full week of advanced training. Can't quite say when that is, just, you know, all the intelligence and whatnot. But what an honor it's been to put on the Army uniform and to serve. I serve as the public affairs officer in the Mississippi State Guard and meeting some wonderful folks. And it's, you know, this summer I will be 58 years old, and you start looking at your life and wondering about your legacy and what did you do? How did you spend your time? And I was always sorry that I had not served in the military, and have a great deal of respect and honor for those men and women who do. And to be able to serve in this way, I never thought it was possible, but it's been one of the most exciting, honorable things in my life, short of accepting Jesus as my Savior and my family. What an opportunity it's been for me, and looking forward to this advanced training where I get to learn more and see ways that we can serve those here in the state of Mississippi where I live. And very much look forward to that. And there's about 20 states that have a guard. So if you've never served, you have the opportunity to do so. Real quick, let's go to Richard. Speaking of Mississippi, hey, Richard, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing real well. I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of our children and our young adults for being great Americans and standing up for what they believe is right. What they know is right. As Christians, they know what is right, and they're standing up for it. And this is a good example of how Christians should stand up against what's wrong. Period.
Amen. Where you at in Mississippi, Richard?
Horn Lake, Mississippi.
Where?
Horn Lake, Mississippi. It's DeSoto County, North Mississippi.
Horn Lake. How about all this rain?
Oh, yeah, how about this rain?
Thank you, Richard.
We've had a lot of rain, and we'll live with the rain, but we can't live with what's happening in the United States today. People have to stand up for what the country is based on.
Amen, Richard. Thank you so much. We're out of time, friends. I leave you with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. From Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Folks, I'm Russ Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. It's always a privilege to be with you. And you know what? If the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you again on Monday. Be blessed.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.